body of Christ, it is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when it is in harmony. And the psalmist talks about that. Beautiful, pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. You have your Bibles, if you would please turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. This will be the final message of the series from 1 John, the series that never planned on, just kind of developed into a series. Week by week, and as it was my turn to preach, I just kept feeling drawn to these as I was seeking God. He would just give me a week or 2 weeks at a time. And there's so many treasures in these little epistles of John. And as you look at it, I did a few word searches. We know is a phrase that keeps appearing throughout this epistle. And another phrase is that of love. I think it's about 80 times. Let me see what I said here. 63 times love is used in these epistles. And 41 times the know, K-N-O-W, that we know, that we can know. You can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know who you believe in. You can, like Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep those things until I make it to eternity. Everything that I entrust to him. It is a no-so about this. We don't have to, we don't have the answers for everything. We sing that hymn, I've settled the question. It's not that we don't have questions, but the question is settled. If you would, why don't you stand with me as we read these first five verses of 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is this that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Holy Spirit, may you come minister to us this morning. Speak to each of our hearts in a special way. Help us to have ears to hear what your word has to speak into our lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You see in your bulletin, I titled this message, How to Overcome. It sounded so cliche-ish, I thought, I got to be more creative than that. There's got to be something better than that. I mean, everybody's talking about, everybody wants to be an overcomer. Well, there's got to be something more clever. Well, the reality is, we live in a fallen world. I read to you at the very beginning of our service that passage from Matthew, where John chapter 16, where Jesus says, in this world you're going to have chaos, but be of good cheer because I have overcome this world, this place, your chaos, your pain, your confusion. Christ has overcome those. And we look to John here, and it says that everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. The world is where the conflict is at. I remember when I was a kid giving a gift to somebody. It was a toy, something I had. I know it was reciprocated to me too. Somebody one time gave me a toy. And after it was given, it was regretted that it was given. Oh, man, what did I do? I want my toy back. Don't be an Indian giver. And people gave me something. I want that back. I want that back. I want that back. And that's the problem with the world. And we're still wanting our world back. And that's a natural desire. That's a healthy desire. That's okay. And that's part of the tension with which we live, because what happened? We gave our world away in the garden. God made us to live forever here on this planet. That's how this planet was created. It was a perfect paradise. All the fruit that could be there. Adam lived there, walked with God in paradise. And then, and of all the fruits and all the trees, everything he could participate in, there was only one tree that was prohibited. And Satan came and said, did God really say? And tempted Adam, and Adam fell. And in that fall, let's look at this in a second here. Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter of Genesis. Verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and over the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Notice, I want you to pay attention to those words that he said, let them, that is mankind, have dominion. That was the plan, and that was what God entrusted and gave to Adam. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish and seas and over the birds and of the heaven and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The problem happened when Satan came to him and said, eat of this fruit, and when Adam took of that fruit that he knew God told him to not take of it, and he took of that, by that single act, Adam gave up all of his, he relinquished his dominion that was given to him over the earth. And therefore, he transferred that dominion from that of mankind to that of the enemy. And as you read through the scriptures, yes, the heavens declare the glory of God, Psalms 8. Yes, God created the world, and there his handiwork, they still are showing forth the works of God. But in the spiritual realm, there's this conflict because of the fall that is so closely linked into the world. This is the problem. It's that we live in a fallen world. When Jesus was faced with the temptation of Satan, Satan very forthrightly tempted Jesus in saying that when he took the devil, took Jesus up to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan said to Jesus, all of these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Now, we know Satan is a liar, but we know that a temptation cannot be a temptation without an opportunity. And there's a reference there that Satan is saying, I will give these to you if you worship me. And if certainly he resisted. And we are now entered into this war. Instead of being born into this paradise, into this beautiful earth, we are born of the earth, of flesh, into the earth with conflict. And what an epic conflict it is. But Jesus came to restore what was lost in the garden. People use terminologies, well, it is now, but not yet. We come up with all sorts of different terminology, and I struggle with getting the phrasing right myself. But Jesus conquered Satan on the cross, but we still have the enemy that is out on the loose. And we're looking forward to that day when he is completely bound. He is bindable today in the spirit realm as long as through our faith. And that is how we can overcome him. People will get off on a lot of different tangents. What is worldliness? Worldliness is this. Worldliness is that. Worldliness is satanic. Worldliness is following the patterns of this world. Worldliness is falling for that temptation, that same temptation that Jesus was tempted with. See all of these kingdoms and all their glory? I will give them to you. And it's the pursuit of those earthly kingdoms is when we are, that's worldliness, and that's satanic worldliness. Paul warned over and over again in his letters, Galatians, in the same way we also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. In Ephesians, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, this power of Satan that he has over the world. And to the letter of Corinth, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in their case, the God, the small g, not God, but the God of this world, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In John chapter 8, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offsprings of Abraham. We have never been enslaved by anyone." Really? What were those 400 years in Egypt about? But that was where they thought. They thought they had arrived. "We've never been enslaved by anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Emphatic, you will be free. We are not going to be held slaves to this world. There's something we have to overcome in this world. That is the problem. That man fell. There's a power that was given, that man gave to Satan. Man is the one that empowered Satan by listening to him in the first place. Therefore, as Adam sinned, so we all inherited that sin gene. So that is the problem. And now we come to the gospel. This is what makes the gospel so real, is the desperation of mankind. And we read in this epistle of John that, and we read this in verse 4, that everyone who has been born of God overcomes all of that. We overcome the world. We overcome the prince of the power of the air that rules in this world. In short, it's Satan. We can overcome the works of Satan. Certainly not in our own strength, but it's in the strength of Jesus. John is writing this letter as an epistle. It's very practical. How do we overcome? And he shares with us how to overcome. It's very simple. There's two main parts to how we overcome. The first one is that we love God by loving his children. We love God by loving his children. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. I have three children. They're very precious to me. And you can say that I'm ugly. I don't care. But just don't tell me that my children are ugly. You know how that works? Right. And that's what God is saying. The way you love God is how you love God's children. Talking about coming together in unity, how beautiful is the body of Christ. We are his body, the church. If we're going to be an overcomer of this world, we have to do so by loving each other. This is real, and this works, people. If the Word of God says it, it's truth, that is that. I've shared with you, this is no exception to the norm. I should get used to this, but I just don't really frankly like it. As I've been studying this for the last 10 days in this sermon, in this message, all of this came to test in my life in a personal way. there were other believers that kind of got under my skin and irked me. What? Really? How am I going to have... What? In the chaos of life and in those conflicts, I have to do what? I have to love them? You see, this is why I say I'd rather preach than to practice. Preaching is one thing, but that I'm not saying this is easy for us to do. But I really want to overcome the chaos in my life. Those cares of life that attack us, I want to overcome those things. And the Word of God says if I'm going to overcome those, I got to love those. And so I felt like a robot. I'm sorry. I mean, and maybe just confession is good. Maybe you guys have, just because I'm the preacher, I guess I'm not, you may be further up the road spiritually than me, but here's what it was for me. Okay, it was very mechanical, very cold. God, I don't feel any of this. I don't feel any love towards these people. I'd rather just go, what is it, New Zealand, that island that we visited off of New Zealand. I was pretty isolated. That's where I'd go right now. God, you said that we're going to overcome these obstacles by loving. So God, I love those people. And I pray and I started blessing those people. God, would you just work in their life and make joy come to them in such a special way? And I felt almost fake because it wasn't consistent with the emotion that I was feeling. But you know what happened? Of course, that's what happened. Once I started praying into that, whoa, it was just so much peace. And it was so much, you know what happened? As soon as I really started, God, you bless them, there was such a genuine warm feeling in my heart for those people. It was like the conflict really was not them. The conflict was in the power of this world. See, the problem was not the other believer. The problem was not even me. But the problem was the world. And the one who is out and about seeking to destroy us. That is the problem. And we overcame that by loving those who I had an issue with. And where the issue came from, I don't even know. In the rationale how it became an issue. But we know from where the issue came, and it was from the enemy. He was sowing seeds of the tares in the field to choke out my life and choke out the life of other believers. Because the things that you harbor and the ideas you hold affect others around you. I mean, this is a well-established principle in the Word of God. Remember Achan. Many people died because of the sin of this one man, Achan. Many people died in the kingdom of David over his individual sin. That's the principle that is at work. Your attitude, your view affects others. Whether they can know it or not, it does have a real effect on the body of Christ. And this is our first responsibility that we have, is to love one another. Love, what did that say? Didn't that say love those of Reunion Church? Let's see, let's go back and look at that. Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Whoever has been born of Him. I'm glad that it's not just those of us in this room that have been born of God, but it's everyone. And it is open for everyone. So there's a principle at work here, even for the unbeliever. The unbeliever is part of the whosoever. So the unbeliever is a potential believer. Therefore, there needs to be respect and dignity given to all mankind, even the unbeliever. So we love God, we overcome the world by loving others. The other part that is mentioned here is by keeping His command. Verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And we have laws, and we remember your parents, this is the rules of the home, this is the rules of the home, this is the rules, and we start getting this idea that commandments are just, is that a word? Yeah, it's an emotion, right? Well, you know what I'm getting at, right? Don't you just feel like, ugh, what? And what does it say here? It says that this is the love of God. Don't you love love? Doesn't love just sound so sweet, so wonderful? His love is about keeping his commandments. The requirements and demands of God are set forth in being obedient to his commands. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. But you know, here's the reality. These are whose commandments? God's commandments. And what are his commandments like? They're harsh and heavy and demanding, right? Is that the case? Absolutely not. See, people like to project that on Christianity. There's so many demands, so many demands, so many demands that God has required. 613 laws of the Old Testament, 500 different commandments of the New Testament. Put them together, you've got a lot. 913 commands, do I have to obey all of those? Are those, what is that? This is just too much. No, it tells us here. And his commandments are not burdensome. So we overcome the world, we conquer the world, we live above the world by loving other people and by keeping God's commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Obedience matters. Remember Samuel speaking to King Saul after he saved back the best of the plunder to sacrifice to God. Remember Samuel's response? He said, "Obedience is better than sacrifice," because God told them to not leave any of the plunder, to kill it all. And Saul saw this and that and a few of these nice things and wanted to keep the king as a trophy. And Samuel said, "No, that's not, God is not pleased with that sacrifice. That's not even a sacrifice." But it's obedience is what God requires, and that's what God asks of us. And his commandments are not burdensome. So what does God require? A scribe one day came to Jesus and asked him what was the greatest of the commandments, which is most important. Jesus answered, he says, "The most important is this," and he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God." That's your commandment. This is what we're to do. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength." The second is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." There is no other commandment greater than these. These are the commandments of God. To love your neighbor as yourself. Someone said, "I feel uncomfortable loving myself." I would suggest that person also feels uncomfortable loving others. Maybe that's why they feel uncomfortable loving themselves. Maybe that's why you feel uncomfortable loving yourself, is because you want to hate another person. You don't want to love another person. And Jesus says you cannot love another person until you learn to love yourself. Love is a silly word, and that's an English word, and that kind of gets into be our some of our tension and problems there. But if you think about honor and respect, and your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. See, growing up in the church, I understood that when it says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I heard that verse as this command. Here's how I heard it: "Thou shalt not smoke." period. It's so much bigger than that. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. How are you treating that? It's not just about what Jesus said. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out. How are you living? We must accept our place as a child of God. We are to love the other children of God. We must also find our own identity in Christ. Because it's only in that we are going to become an overcomer. By loving others and keeping God's commands. And understand this, and don't ever forget it. God's commandments are not burdensome. And that's when you start feeling that they are, and seeing and thinking and hearing that they are, we know for sure there's one place sure that what the source of that is, and that is from the enemy who is at work in this world. So we overcome the world, we overcome Satan by being found in Christ, by loving him, by loving each other, and may that guide us. May that bring from all of the conflict and all the chaos of our lives, help us to have a steadfast heart on God, being conformed to the image of Christ. And that is how we overcome. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word, grateful for your Holy Spirit in our life. And I pray that you'd go with each one of us in a very special way. Help us to take these words to heart. Help us in these conflicts of life and in these times of struggle and chaos and conflict. May we be found in you and conformed to your image. May we love each other with that same love that you loved us. That's what the scripture commanded us, to the extent that you loved us. So we also are to love one another. It's impossible for us to do this in the flesh, to do this in our own. We cannot have our own agenda and our own will, but we submit ourselves to your will and to your agenda. And we pray that your presence would go with us and in the conflicts of life, and that in those times when we're tempted to say a harsh word, to harbor an attitude, that we would return that with just the love that you have. I'm so grateful that you love us and that you care for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would remind us of who we are. We know you are who you said you are, and I pray that you would also help us to remember who you say that we are as a child of God. Thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Thank you for sending your Son to die for us. And now may the power of the Holy Spirit go with us. In Jesus' name, amen.